Hey everybody, this is Mandy, and I don't tend to have bad breakups, but that doesn't mean that's a window for you to come back later.
Hi everyone, this is Ollie, and today has been an extremely long and excruciating day, and this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the most things. Daddy ran away, left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
I was been that way for you too.
I guess it's not just secluded to me. I guess I think I'm the only person who can have a long day. But yeah, today was a lot. And it just sucks when your day is a lot and then you come home and it's still a lot. You know what I mean? It's like, when does it stop? So, yeah. How are you doing today, Mandy?
I'm cool. I've been doing what is required of me.
Like, how bare minimum, or like you said you were going to do it, so you got it done?
I don't really know how to answer that. I've just been doing what's required of me. I don't look at it as bare minimum or what I said. It's what I got to do.
Okay.
Even if I don't say it out loud, if I got to do it, I got to do it.
Okay.
How are you?
Like I said, it's been a long day. So, again, you don't want to like have a long day at work and then come home and stuff is triggering you. So I'm just still working on my triggers.
That are your goals, working on your triggers?
No, I've been going the route that our friend went, where I'm just like, not to not have any expectations or goals, but like, let me not be so stringent about it. So no, I have still been doing my yoga. It's not daily though, and it's way shorter than what I was doing originally, but that's just because I've had some schedule changes and I needed to change that. So hopefully I can get on a more consistent schedule with that. How are your goals going?
Originally when I wrote an update down for my goals, I was like, the way this school stuff is going, you may never hear me say I'm going to get a bachelor's. And then certain circumstances changed. So maybe I'll still get a bachelor's. Who knows? Basically, I intended to finish the semester and then just be like, this school is playing games, because they're not trying to do what they need to do in order to allow me to have my associates. And because I'm working on or trying to complete other things, I'm like, I don't know that I want to put my funds, or that I have the capacity right now to put more funds towards going to school, especially if they're going to be playing games with me when I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to do. But they started to get their stuff together, and I guess I found out for the first time how much a major tax break it is to be in school. So now I'm like, oh, I guess, you know, maybe we'll see. I think about it.
Yeah, you can write off a lot of stuff, like your supplies, your electronics, anything. Sometimes you can write off your bills too. Like if you need to use your Wi-Fi to do your schoolwork, you can write that off. So yeah,
I mean, that's more than I'm gonna
allow,
think about, but at the very least, the tuition, you know, I don't want to do the extra. I want to do what is required, as I said previously, what is a required, at least when it comes to school. So yeah, I don't know, we'll see if I continue doing that. That's how I feel about that. How are your goals going?
So like I said, they're pretty free-flowing. It was just the yoga one. That was the only one
You did say that. I'm just repeating. I felt like I asked you how you were doing twice. I asked you how your goals are going twice. This is just going to be
okay. You're trying to be extra sure. That is okay.
You said I'm trying to be extra short?
Sure. S-U-R-E.
Sure. Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That sound good to me. All right, well, let's just slide on down to This Is a Safe Space.
Yeah. What's on your docket today for This Is a Safe Space? Do you have anything on the docket?
I do. And then I realized I had wrote something else down for the goals, but it's not really a goal. I'll just say, you know, I've been trying to stay warm and stay sane. Mm-hmm. And even though the cold spell seems like it's, you know, going away, I think it's important for everyone else to stay warm and stay sane as well.
Okay.
And speaking of staying sane, my This Is a Safe Space is about don't assume the meaning of what people are saying to you, because that allows you to be let down. Like, you know that saying, don't assume because it makes an ass out of you and me. Like, I never understood the ass part except for the fact that it's like, oh, you know, spelling. But I was like, I don't know what that means. But I do believe it's like an opportunity for a letdown, an opportunity for you to let yourself down and someone else to let you down. So I don't mean that in like thinking the worst of people, but I just think if you assume anything about someone, like that they're gonna do the best for you or even the worst for you, like it just creates this environment of you analyzing in your head what they mean to say, what things are happening. And I definitely think you can interpret what mm-hmm. folks say, mm-hmm. but I think it's important not to assume. And there's even a lot of times I find myself trying to you know, clarify. I'm like, well, I don't want to assume that you meant this. So I'm going to tell you what my understanding of it is. And if you'd like to say that's not it, you know, but I don't want to assume because it's just going to lead to my own disappointment or misfortunes or whatever the case may be. So yeah, that's what I want to talk about for my safe space.
Okay. I know assumptions can definitely lead to misinterpretations, but I do feel like there's kind of a thin line between someone assuming something about someone or that's said or an action that's done and then interpretation. And I just have an example. For some reason, this popped up in my head. This was like years ago, but I was like driving up the street and one of my neighbors like gave me the bird, like flipped me off. And I was like, what the H? So then when I went home, I talked to my brothers about it. And one of my brothers was like, well, how do you know they meant anything by it? I was like, we all know what the bird means. Like, what do you mean? He's like, well, maybe to them it means, and he was just trying to like play it down, like gaslight as far as I'm concerned. And I was just like, it's the bird. I don't feel like there's any misinterpretation or assumption in regards to that. So I guess I'm wondering what's the difference between, like, she gave me the bird. Am I assuming she meant it in a bad way and she could have meant it in a friendly way? Like, that's how she says hello? Or did I misinterpret her or did I have it on the nose? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think for me, it's important about, like, the situation. So you felt like she flipped you the bird and then you went home and analyzed it. And that to me is where the assumption part comes in. Like if you were still in the dynamic of when she flipped you the bird and you looked at her like, what? Then she could then respond in a way that would have maybe shown you either that bird wasn't meant for you or yeah, it was meant for you. I don't like ass. And then you, then you wouldn't be assuming any context of the situation. You could interpret it very clearly. Like I have enough information to go off of in this present moment of dual communication, even if though it's not, you know, verbal communication, but dual communication and process that I know I have a understanding of how I received that because I got enough information from the situation to gain my understanding of it. But when we go home and we're just like, this thing happened and it doesn't make sense to me, mm-hmm. but this is how I interpreted it, that's when I'm like, okay, now we're in the assumption territory. Cause I'm like, I know flipping a bird, like what, like it's not assuming that she gave you the bird, it's assuming that she got a problem with you. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where your brother was like, well, you know, I don't know why she did it, but maybe it wasn't that she has a problem with you type thing.
Nah, I don't agree with that. I just feel like if you...
So you got the confirmation?
What'd you say?
You got the confirmation?
No, I'm saying to me, that's a universal sign. No one flips the bird. It's like, hey, what's up? Hope you're having a good day. Like, that's not what that means. So in my head, it's not necessarily, for me, it's not open to interpretation. Like, if you flip somebody the bird, it's not to be nice about something.
I agree that is a universal sign. I guess where my agreeing with your brother is, like, not assuming why she did it.
But to me, the why doesn't matter unless you have some unequivocal explanation, like, oh, I got a finger cramp and my finger just got stuck like that. Then to me, the why doesn't matter. It matters that you did it.
Okay. So when you were communicating that with them, you were just like, she flipped me the bird. That's it? Or you were talking to them about it, like,
we were talking about it, but his response wasn't the why she did it. His response was, well, how do you know she didn't mean it in a friendly way? How did you know that she, that wasn't just her saying hello, that kind of response? That's why I was like, okay, you being foofy right now. Like, I'm not about to talk to you about this. Like, I'm not about to act like flipping the bird is now a way to say greetings, because it's not.
Mm-hmm. I find a lot of times when I'm like communicating now, like I said, like someone will respond to me in a way and I respond based upon what I've received. So it's like something happened and I received it a certain way. So that's how I'm responding to it. Like, it's hard for, especially because that's, you know, how interpretation is. Like,
yeah.
You did something, this is how I respond to things like that. Whether that's the way you meant it, or, you know, if you meant it in a negative way and I thought it was funny, so I laughed, or whether you meant it in a positive way and I didn't like it, so I responded negatively. Like, I have to respond how I respond.
Right.
However, you, like I said, when you're then responding to my response, that's an opportunity for me to verbalize how I felt.
Okay, presently.
Yeah, because, and sometimes it's hard because, like, I've just been having, you know, situations or recently where I don't, like, you know, somebody says something or does something and I don't want to engage in it. I feel like I need to remove myself from my mental health or from my protection, or just because I'm like, I don't feel like being mad and this is gonna make me mad, so I remove myself from it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that the next time I see them, I'm going to want to discuss it or I'm going to be in a positive mindset to figure it out or whatever. And that's also, like, you know, a decision I have to make, but I just want to respond kind of like in a cause and effect thing, as opposed to an over analytical thing. Like, this is what happened, this is how I responded, and that may be, like, you know, that's at the end, as opposed to this is what happened, and then I went home and I felt like you did it because of this reason or that reason, and that, and then that brings me into a whole nother stream of consciousness. Like, no, like, it's like what you say all the time, like, in dealing with the facts. Like, no, this is what happened,
mm-hmm.
and this is how I responded to it. And, you know, maybe in the future we can go down the process of analyzing all these different parts of it, but I'm not going to do that by myself, yeah. Or at least I don't want to do that by myself,
yeah.
Because I'm a very analytical person, and I can get myself into a rabbit hole, have a whole argument with myself about it, and it not even be like
that deep,
the truth. Yeah, and it might not be that deep, and it also might not be the truth because I'm having it with myself.
Right.
So if something happens, yes, it's like this is what happened, this is how I responded, or this is how the other person responded. But I have to leave that exactly where I left it until we come back again, if we decide to come back again on that matter.
Okay.
What do you think of that? Is that something that you agree with, or?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I feel like I'm more so like that lately, or I catch myself saying, well, this is what I interpret you to say, or this is how I received what you said. I feel myself or hear myself using that a lot because I can't really justify like, well, you know, this is, you know, how you meant it. You know what I mean? All I can say is this is how I received it, because I feel like that also mm-hmm. makes the other person involved maybe defensive or feel like they have to vouch for what they did. And I'm like, you can, you know, vouch, you can deny, you can apologize, but this is how I received it. This is how I interpreted it. So that has helped quell a lot of different arguments and misinterpretations, you know, just saying, okay, well, you might've meant it this way, but this is how I received it. So I'm fine with the whole, this is what happened, and let's leave it here in certain situations. Other situations, I'm just like, well, no, this is an ongoing issue. It's going to be an ongoing conversation. So, yeah.
There was something that you said that I wanted to speak to, but I can't remember the exact word because I was also trying to actively listen. But basically, I think it was in part to like, you were saying this is how I interpreted it, as opposed to this was your intention. Mm-hmm. So I think again, like that's where I think the assumptions were going would come into play for me, where it's like if I assume they intended for me to receive something a certain way, and not just I received it a certain way, that is creating a narrative for them that they never actually expressed or showed. And right. And that, I remember the word. It's when people feel like they have to be defensive. Like, yes, when you create a narrative for someone else, then of course they go into defense mode because they're like, you're trying to tell my story. You're trying to tell right. me, you know, a lot of times people get that, like they get angry. You're trying to tell me how I felt. That's not how I felt. You're trying to tell me that's what I was doing. That's not what I was doing. And, right. you know, when people getting in defense.
Right.
Y'all can't see it because this is the audio medium, but you know, I'm putting up my guns. Like if I gotta defend myself, I'm gonna defend myself. And it's, you know, sometimes, I mean, I'm not a fighter, but you know, I'm sure there are people out here that be itching for a fight. Like they can't wait for you to say something so they can defend themselves. I'm not one of those people. So I do not want to back someone else into a corner where they feel like they have to defend themselves, because then now we in a fight and I'm not a fighter. So I definitely, and I've been in situations where I felt like I was on the defense. And again, because I'm not a fighter, I don't tend to be backed into the corner and I come out barking or swinging. I mean, sure, there's been times when I have, but that's not typically right. what I'm trying to do. Right. So I'm just like, okay, well, now I guess I got to retreat like a wildflower. Like, no, not me. Please stop. But yeah, I definitely don't want things that I'm thinking to cause people to feel like they have to defend themselves or get into defense mode, whether that is, you know, retreating into their small reclusive bubble, like what I might do, or mm-hmm. if it's coming out swinging, because again, I'm not trying to fight.
Understandable.
So what is on your docket for This is a Safe Space?
I want to talk about a current event that's happening right now. And I posted it on my Instagram story, so hopefully you were able to see it. I'm not sure. But I want to talk about the young mom with the three kids who was working at a fast food restaurant, and she's staying in a hotel with her kids. And the father of the kids called the police on her and got her arrested. And now a GoFundMe has been raised for her, and they've raised over $150,000. And most of the support has been pretty, pretty positive. But you also have some naysayers, some negative Nancy, some people who are just like, how dare you leave your kids, ABCDEFG. For more detail, her eldest child is 9 years old. The hotel was like very, very close to her place of employment, and she had someone checking on them every hour. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on the situation, if you had any.
Do you know where the father was or what the father was doing in the instance of him calling the police?
Aha! That's what I want to get to. But no, apparently he was either possibly working or possibly available to watch his kids, but did not. So that's what I've gotten, but I don't feel like that's accurate information. Everything I've said up until this point has been accurate, factual. As to where he was, I can only tell you he was on the phone dialing 911. That's all I can tell you.
Right. And I asked that because if the father felt like he or maybe someone else, maybe that he feels like he trusts or whatever, was available to watch the children and she potentially refused to put them in there, in that person's care, then I can understand why it was a grievance for the father and potentially calling 911. So that's where it gets me concerned about more so their relationship as parents in regards to the wellness and safety of the children. Because I definitely feel like if her options are limited, I can understand her trying to go to work because she doesn't feel like she has other means in finding childcare. That's a, you know, real reality for a lot of single parents.
Right.
And if, you know, it's a single parent and like I said, she the father wasn't available or isn't around or whatever, but for the father to call 911, I'm just like, I hope you were doing that because you were concerned about the care and well-being of your children and not being
petty,
petty something or another to just be like, oh, I'm a show her. I'm gonna get her sent to jail.
Right.
Or whatever. So yeah, that's my major concern. And now in the response to there being like a GoFundMe and stuff like that, I mean, it'll definitely be beneficial for her in finding more options of childcare. And I hope, you know, assume that's what she would then use it for.
Well, she said that she was going to use it for housing, actually, because they're living in the hotel. So she said they were going to use it for housing, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that's a bad idea. But I mean, that's a lot of money. So I hope, again, part of it goes to childcare, because I think that the father will do the same thing, whether they're in a hotel or a house, if the kids are there by themselves. And again, I don't know what his reasonings are, but if he decides to call 911, it'll be the same circumstance. So
what age do you feel like it's appropriate to start leaving your kids at home? Or do you wait till it's maturity level?
In the state of Georgia, I know this for really specific reasons. An 11-year-old can watch younger children for a span of, I think it's either 2 to 4 hours. And typically, they want the child to be older if it's like an overnight situation.
Okay.
There needs to be like an older person, an adult, if it's, you know, past that span of like 4 hours and in overnight situations, because harmful things can happen. Not even like, you know, you think your kids are asleep and there can be a fire for whatever reason or a gas leak. And it's like no one is there as an adult to make sure that all the children are put in a safe situation. So, What I feel about it, what is permissible, and I would just suggest people find out what their law is in their jurisdiction wherever they live, because trust, there are laws, and you will be held accountable by those laws.
Right, but I don't necessarily, and I know the law is the law, but there are plenty of laws that I don't necessarily agree with, and in this case, I just felt like my heart goes out to her. Like, you're a young mother of 3 kids. You have to work. You have to support yourself. Like, nobody is there supporting you. Like, the father is not supporting you in the way that, you know, you and your children have housing in a way. And maybe he can't as well. But I just feel like to go to the extreme of getting the police involved anytime, but especially in the time that we're in now, It doesn't help the situation. It reminds me of when we're in high school and you do something wrong, so they suspend you. It's like, So you're going to punish me by taking me out of school? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So you're going to punish me and our kids by taking away my source of income and adding another bill, court fees, bail bonds, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't add up to me. So, yeah, I do feel like unless it's just some egregious reason, like to me in my head, it would have to be an egregious reason, like some kind of abuse, or you begged and begged and begged to get the kids and she said, no, this is the only option that I'm going to go with. Or it would, in my head, it would have to be some just out of the park, far left field, egregious reason for him to call 911 on their mother and start this whole process.
I mean, I understand that's how you feel, but technically, again, like, because of the children's age and leaving them alone, that's considered neglect, which is grounds for them being taken out of her custody. And again, I don't know the circumstances. So if he is trying to, he might do it because he wants custody, because he feels like she's holding cards and, you know, maybe not using them appropriately to, like, he's like, for example, if he wants joint custody and she's like, no, but you can give me this money. And he's like, even if I give you the money, I want joint custody or whatever. I want to see my kids and make sure they're taken care of and blah, blah, blah. Technically, her being in a motel isn't like, you know, that's not grounds for her kids being taken away because she's providing shelter. So it's not an ideal circumstance, but it is, you know, her still providing them with a need. But her leaving them alone, that would be considered neglect. So it's hard for me to say that he's wrong because I don't know the circumstances of his situation with her and his situation with the kids.
That's what I mean about it having to be, in my head, egregious. Do I feel like I would leave my 9-year-old alone to watch my 2 younger children? No, but have I been in a situation where it's like, okay, I have nobody to call. I have nobody to depend on. Nobody is in my corner. I have to figure it out myself. Yes, I have been. And when you're like at the bottom of the barrel like that, like you just do what you have to do. And so if to provide for her kids, she just had to like do what she had to do, but under the law it's considered neglect because of a 2-year age difference or whatever state she's in. I'm not sure what state she's in. Then I mean, I honestly don't feel like I can fault her for that. And I don't feel like I can look at her outside of the lens of you were doing what you had to do.
But I can't say that I know for sure she was exhausting all of her options and doing all that she had to do. If the father had the ability to know that the children were alone, to call 911. Like, to me, that's someone else that I don't know if is specifically an option, but has that information. Because if she had no other options, if no one else knew what was going on, no one would be able to call 911. Like, no one in the hotel probably knew those kids were in there by themselves. But because the father knew, I'm like, I need to understand why he knew. Because that could possibly be an option that she's choosing not to use because of her feelings with the father. And it could be her being petty.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that information. But I just feel like if that's the case, then yeah, you're in the wrong. If he could have watched them or so-and-so. That's not what I'm giving this for. That's not what I received information-wise thus far. But I will continue to follow this story and keep you guys updated. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be... I mean, you know that I have a lot of literal training in subjects regarding, yep, like this matter and the welfare of children, yep, and understanding that yes, there are nuances to stuff, like, but there's also facts that people are presented with. So, I mean, in this circumstance, she got, you know, a GoFundMe situation, which is very helpful in her being able to take care of the situation faster.
Yeah.
If it was, you know, the horrid situation of her children being taken out of her care, Typically, she would then have to still acquire like a whole bunch of things, like based upon a social worker or a judge saying you need to complete these things in order for your children to be back in your care. And again, like to me, a large portion of that would be like adequate childcare. They'd be like, you have to prove that when you at work, they're going to be somewhere safe. Otherwise, we're not going to give them back to you and blah, blah, blah. Part of that could be, you know, if in him calling 911, like they may ask both of them to go to parenting classes or mediator classes or whatever. For me, overall, it's, I'm glad that she's getting support, but my main concern is that the children are getting the support and care that they need. Because like you said, ideally you would never want to leave your young children. And to me, 9 is still kind of young. Like I'm trying to think of things.
11's young for me.
Yeah, but 11 is like middle school, and I was, you know, riding the bus, taking the key out and let myself in middle school. So I can kind of get that. 11 is, you know, old enough to make sure that your little sibling don't bust their head up on the table. So I kind of get how 11 is chosen, but 9 is definitely very young. I can't think of things I would want my 9-year-old to do by themselves, let alone and make sure 2 other people stay alive.
Yeah.
An 11-year-old can, I don't know, use the stove. But there's a lot of things that I'm like, a 9-year-old? I don't know. Like I might just start letting my 11-year-old use the stove. It just depends on the circumstance. But I just want to make sure that the children are cared for. And I don't doubt that. Let me not say I don't doubt. Based upon the information provided in the story, I don't think she's a bad mother, and I don't want to have that ever be expressed. I just want her and him to understand that in the best interest of their children, you know, they might want to start working together to make sure that their children's best interests are put in mind and not them being petty towards each other.
Right. I can agree with that. So, you ready to mosey on over?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's on your meat and potatoes?
I wanted to ask you what was on your plate first.
Okay, you can ask me.
Yeah, so what's on your plate? We having tapas? We getting the big dinnerware out? What we doing?
I don't know what size this is, but I just was thinking about, and, you know, other people may disagree with me, but personally, I want to see about retiring certain hood lessons that people may be carrying with them. So I say hood lessons being, again, if you come up in a certain situation or circumstance and you're like, this is what we had to do in our hood, and I'll say like hood being neighborhood, to survive or to get our to live our best life or whatever the situation may be. And you know, people pass those down to their kids or their little siblings or cousins or the, you know, homie down the street or whatever. They pass it down to the next generation.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things I feel like we no longer need. Like the world is trying to evolve in a lot of regards, and Gen Zers and the ones that come after them, I can't remember what they're called. I think it's Alpha. Okay. But Gen Z,
whoa.
Alpha.
Whoa.
Like, I heard you say
called.
Yeah, I got it. I think that they are even more so than when I was coming up. And my cousin used to always ask, why, daddy, why? They'll hit you with the why real quick. Like, but why are you doing that? but why do you think that's the right way? And I think, as opposed to just being like, no, this is, you know, this is the hood, let's not learn, this is the way we're going to do it. Like, yes, think about, why is it that you did it that way? And are those circumstances still necessary? And part of the reason why I came to that thought process is because of a man that I don't follow too much because it would give me a migraine, but it's a man named Boosie who refuses to give up these hood lessons that he learned, and he is trying to forcibly shove them down everybody else's throat and in everyone else's children's lives, and just be loud and ridiculous and archaic, and it's just really annoying. And I'm like, Mr. Boosie Badass, as I think they call him, how many people have to tell you you're a loud, wrong fool before you have to at least say, it's not my business to tell everybody what I think? You know what I mean? I'm not even going to say that you shouldn't think what you think, but it's not your business to tell everybody what you think, and it's not your business to try and force everyone to think the way that you think. And I can give a bunch of examples of where Boosie is just like, you know, they wrong for this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, but what? Why is that your problem? And I just took the time to think about, well, why does Boosie think that way? And I just think it's a hood lesson he learned in his neighborhood. And he like, but he didn't take it as a, this is a thing I had to learn in my neighborhood. He took it as like an overarching law that is required for all parties, regardless of their circumstances and situations. And for where I'm at in my life, things that I did when I was growing up, I often look at them and I'm like, yeah, I did some really dumb stuff as a kid, and I want to allow people grace to make their own mistakes.
Yeah.
However, I'm also going to be mindful to not pass down stuff that I did just because I did it. That didn't make it right. And even the reasons why I did it, if they do not apply anymore, I'm not going to pass that down. So I just want to retire some hood lessons. I did a long rant, but I'm going to let you speak to some of that.
I think Boosie specifically is just one of those people that's going to be Boosie. Y'all can't see me doing air quotes. And people are going to allow him to be Boosie. And I feel like a lot of the things he said and admitted and shared have been disgusting, have been filthy, have been unnecessary. And I don't see him changing anytime soon, because Boosie has been an adult for decades. Like, this is who he is as a person. Mm-hmm. And I just don't subscribe to him. Like, I don't follow him anywhere. I don't try to listen to him. When he does come up, it's always some tomfoolery, like you said. And on the other side of that, there are people still, quote unquote, in the hood who don't necessarily want to evolve, who don't want to be held accountable, who don't want to say, oh, well, I do know better, so I'm going to do better. There are people that exist like that. And for them, Boosie is the GOAT. Boosie is, you know, the role model. So it's like, I'd like to think that we could all be progressive and be smart and be conscious of what we're doing, but not everybody wants to be like that.
And I definitely agree with that. I think the issue that I feel with Boosie and a lot of people who are still in the hood, it's not the people who are still in the hood. Boosie's no longer in the hood. And where a lot of other people who, except for the fact that he wants to be, so I understand that Boosie was, you know, not too long ago still in jail, but he has, before he went to jail, you know, he had money and circumstances, and he's come out of jail and still has money and circumstances. Mm-hmm. And he is refusing to use those money and circumstances to even think about, what is my new situation? Do I have to still hold on to these old sentiments? There's other people who, you know, aren't famous, but come out of life where they came out of a hard situation and now are in a better situation, and are just like, I want to hold on to all these things that I did or had to do when I didn't have what I have now, and hold everyone else around me to that standard too. And that's where it gets me frustrated, where other people are like, but I don't subscribe to that, or I don't live to that. And they're like, no, this is the way to do it. This is the only way to do it. You're wrong if you're doing that. You're wrong if you're teaching your kids anything else. I look at that sometimes with, like, you know, T.I. And it's... One minute he's, you know, trying to explain to people how they need to educate themselves to improve their situation, and then refuses to educate himself on relationships and you know, how to engage with people of the opposite sex or different circumstances, like that it's not important all the time to domineer over them or to dictate how their, you know, life or should be or whatever the case may be. And it's just like, you understand the concept of education and evolving, but you still are holding on to some hood lessons. And it's like, for what? For why? And that's where I'm just like, even for people who are in the hood, there are young people in the hood now who are like, yes, my life is still hard and difficult, but I still am discovering or uncovering a new way to live. Mm-hmm. And there's people around me who refuse to let me live it, who said, because they want it to be exactly as they remember it. It reminds me of a couple of things. One is the personal circumstance for me, which was going to an HBCU. And when I first went to my HBCU, a lot of the dorm rooms didn't have AC. My dorm room had air conditioning, but a lot of the dorm rooms did not have air conditioning. And whenever it would be brought up to the alumni boards and just, you know, other things regarding improvements being made to the school, people that were alumni were like, well, we came up with no AC, so why should y'all have AC? Because we can. Like if they're saying that improvements can be made and they just need funding or whatever, excuse me, I don't particularly care why y'all couldn't have AC. We can. And the only thing stopping us from having it is you.
Yeah.
Holding on to your hood lesson.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
I feel like that extends, or that mentality extends beyond just hood lessons, though. I feel like that can be applied for people who want to stay traditional in a sense, or this is how we did it growing up, so this is how I want to do it now, or this is what I went through, so I'm expecting my kids to go through the same things. So I feel like in a broader sense, yes, but specifically for the hood lessons, okay, well, I do want to say this first of all. I would not put Boosie and T.I. in the same category. Boosie, like I said, can just be totally disregarded, put to the wayside, and he can be king of the hood over there. T.I. concerns me more so because he will slip in and out of that expeditiously, superstitiously, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, picked up a dictionary today, and then, but I'm still from the block, blah, 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 even though I got like a 30-room home, yada, yada, yada. T.I. is definitely suburban thuggin'. That's what I call it, and it does concern me how many people look at him as being a leader or a pillar in the community. And I'm like, you can't have both. And I'm not comparing him to R. Kelly, but to me, it's that same syndrome where people are like, well, he did these things, but he makes good music. And I'm like, no, you can't have both. You can't say, I'm going to keep my daughter locked up until she's married, but yeah, my 14-year-old son can go have sex. You can't say, yeah, I was out here thugging, robbing, doing all this stuff, but now that I have money and y'all are trying to make y'all way into my homes, y'all need to stop that. You need to respect my city. You need to respect me and my family. When you're reaping what you sowed, like, that's what you were doing. So of course, people who grew up on your music, on your form of entertainment, on your information, you gave them the playbook, and then when they started playing, you didn't want to play the game anymore. So yeah, I think that's what I had to add for that.
I guess I understand what you mean when it's like T.I. could be more dangerous, but I guess it still holds the same regard to me where it's like, it's up to us to not allow them to teach us and our children those lessons. Like, the way that you look at Boosie is just being like, well, he loud, wrong, and, you know, probably ignorant. It's other people. I'm just trying to make my point. Mm-hmm. It's it's not up to me to explain to other people why T.I. is problematic. I'm not gonna say his music ain't great or whatever, but that doesn't keep me from holding him accountable.
Right.
And so it's the people who refuse to hold him accountable just because they like aspects about him. That's where it's, to me, it's you're trying to hold on to hood lessons. And that's where he's trying to hold on to hood lessons. You understand the concept of a good and you want to ignore the bad because you want to hold on to the good so tight. Or you feel like in the hood aspect, like these are the things that make me who I am. And if I say that all of it wasn't perfect and shiny and great, then somehow my life or my upbringing or the way that I've become this person isn't, you know, sparkling, shiny and great. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't take away from who you are, but it's okay to observe and even critique aspects of it.
Right.
So the other example that I always remember was on the Hughley show. There was an episode where he basically felt like his kids were spoiled. Mm-hmm. And he started taking all of these things away from them to teach them not to be spoiled and to try and help them understand the value of hard work and blah, 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 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like making them go through the exact same circumstances that he had to go through in order to get the stuff that he had now. And so at some point his daughter was like, "Daddy, why don't you love us anymore?" And he was like, of course I love you, baby. What makes you say that? And she's like, "Because you took away all of our things. Don't you want us to have nice things?" And he was like, "Yeah, I want you to have nice things. That's why I work hard, so you can have nice things." And she was like, "Well, we had all of them and then you took them away." Mm-hmm. So it's like, again, because of him trying to hold on to the mentality of which he grew up in, yeah, he couldn't even think about a way to teach his children to value and appreciate what they had and the, you know, the value in hard work without making them go through the exact circumstances that he went through and making their life very difficult. As opposed to just being like, "You have these things because I give them to you because I work hard.
Right.
Let's go into an area where you know, you have to serve other people who don't have as much. Or let's donate some of the stuff you have to people who, you know," there's always a bunch of ways that people do that. But instead they're like, "Nope, I'm gonna make you go through exactly what I went through because my life was difficult and your life gotta be difficult too, even though I want you to have more."
Right.
And another, you know, celebrity parent that I noticed that does stuff like that is Dame Dash. But he's a whole nother
can of worms.
I would just say like a whole nother think piece, like think take situation, like going into him and all that stuff. It's just a lot of these people are like, it's very hard for them to get past them hood lessons. Like you said, it's not specifically to the hood, but that's the way I'm coloring it today. So
yeah,
I just want everybody to, you know, take a little glimpse into the hood lessons in their life and just observe, which ones can I remove from my life now? Like, which things can I keep, you know, which things can I hold nostalgically in my mind, and which things can I get rid of forever because they actually weren't good. And I didn't even really like it when I went through it. I'm just giving it rainbow colored glasses now.
Right. Yeah. I would also say it's important that people understand like that saying, like, you can't take the blank out of the blank. So I'll use me for example. You can't take the Ollie. You can take the Ollie out of Atlanta, but you can't take the Atlanta out of Ollie. And the only thing I've retained from that is that I love eating hot Cheetos. Like, that's the only thing about you can't take the Atlanta out of Ollie that I've retained. I haven't retained, like, or not necessarily retained, or, you know, held steadfast. I haven't said, you know what, I know how to fight. Let me bust down on a few people. I know how to hotwire a car and hotbox. Let me, you know what I mean? It's like certain stuff you either grow out of or you realize this isn't a useful tool.
Do all those things?
This isn't a useful tool for me anymore in my current environment. So you don't enact them. So yeah, I just think it's important like you said, to realize, like, okay, the time has come and gone for certain things. You can let certain things go. So, yeah.
Yep.
For my meat and potatoes, I wanted to talk about something that I'm dealing with that also kind of carried over from the interviews that I told you all I was going on. And that's the question, and I want you all to think about this. The question is, are you teachable? And usually when I'm presented with that question, I think about it and I say yes, because in my head it means, are you flexible to learn? Are you flexible to learn in different kinds of ways? Semicolon, however, comma, this whole week, I feel like especially today, I feel like that question just kept coming because of different tasks I was assigned. And I was like, am I teachable? Am I okay with this person like hovering? Am I okay with this person saying, oh, this is how they do it, but oh, I'll find, you know, my rhythm and I know how to do it. Am I okay like being showed how to do a process three different times by three different people because I want to be teachable? And I don't have an answer for you guys. I feel like today and yesterday and some of last week, I was told or regurgitated some of the same information three different times by three different people. And I was like, okay, at what point do I say I know this? Or would that make me look not teachable? At what point do I say, oh, I already know this? Or would that make it look like I'm a know-it-all? At what point do I say I got this? Or will they assume, oh, she catches on to everything quickly so we can give her loads and loads and loads of tasks, you know, and overwhelm me? So I'm just trying to figure out if you ever think about that, like, are you teachable or what that means to you?
When I go into a new job, even when I know how to do stuff, typically I do not comment about what all I know how to do until I feel like I've learned everything that there is for people to teach me. I guess it's not new two more, but when I started my current position, I quickly found that while I didn't know how to use a lot of systems that they had to use, things like Excel and other Microsoft tools, I was definitely using them more and more mindful of them than my team members were. Like, they didn't have to use them for stuff. But I didn't say anything, not because I didn't know how to use it, but I don't necessarily, I definitely think there's still values of things I can learn from how other people do it. In part because if it's like a team effort, certain things, like, I need to know what that person does so that if something comes back and it don't look right, well, I'm like, okay, well, Sandy usually does things like this, so maybe that's why it looks like that, even if that's not how I do it. You know, things like that. I think it's also helpful because if they're already running their programs a certain way, it's helpful for me to understand why they run their programs that way. And then if I feel like this way is more efficient or helpful, I can explain it to them in a way that they understand because I understand the way that they do it and why they do it that way. So in your situation, I would say, because I know that you are still like new in the job, I would still let them explain stuff because eventually you are going to be working at an independent level. But you'll have that information of how your team members work. Like, while that task won't be a new task for you to learn, this is still an opportunity for you to learn something. And being like, how your team members learn, how your team members work and process, and how you'll be able to work with them.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. And it has been showing me how other people work or how other people input data. One other thing that they're big on is efficiency, but I feel like they interchange the word efficient with fast, and it's kind of confusing because they also have this like triple check method, like don't be afraid to double, triple check or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not afraid to triple, double check, but I also don't feel like just because I do something super fast means that it's going to be efficient or going to be correct. You know what I mean? So I'm having to also work through that because in my head, fast doesn't mean efficient. So yeah, just a lot of different.
It surely doesn't.
Yeah, a lot of work styles that I'm having to get used to. And also the whole change of, again, working with adults when I've been working with children. So, yeah, some big changes, adaptation, as the kids say.
Is that what the kids say?
No, I don't think the kids use that word, but yeah.
Please. I mean, kids might, but I'm just like, it don't sound like something like, you know, like the kids say, like, it don't sound trendy at all. It just sounds like a word.
Yeah. Okay, you ready to move on to our underappreciated award?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
My underappreciated.
Go ahead.
My underappreciated award is going to Jada Pinkett Smith, and we all know that Mrs. Jada Pinkett Smith went through a public fiasco, mocking, revelation, all kinds of stuff with the he who must not be named. And I just feel like when it first
happened,
I guess he must be named. I feel like when it first happened, it was just everywhere all the time, like any big news story, but it didn't have like the 2-week news story cycle. Like this went on for months. I don't know if other people realize it went on for months and then something bigger happened. So, you know, it fell off. But for the longest time, she had her comments turned off and she was kind of like MIA. And I can understand that because she would even be promoting things that her children were doing. And of course, in the comments, what about August? How do they feel about this? How do they feel about that? They were friends. Like, and it's like, it's just water. She posted about just water, literally just water. So to see her getting back in her element of, I want to be seen. I want you guys to see what I'm doing. I have a new product called Hey Humans at Target, which is available to everyone, less than $6. It's affordable and it's, you know, bio-friendly, yada, yada, yada. I'm out here with Tiger Woods. I've been golfing. I've been doing better. To see her kind of shake it off and get back to doing what she wants to do is hopeful to me. It's like, okay, like I'm sure there are still some people in the comments like just being crazy, but I see far more positive support. Okay, like this thing happened, but let's move on. So that's who's receiving my underappreciated award for today.
I'm surprised that you gave it to Jada, but you know, she could be viewed as underappreciated. And I do understand and believe how that situation would be difficult for her. I still feel like she's all right in the long run, but I definitely can see how it would be difficult and how it would make her engage in certain things less. I was never worried about her too much, though, to be perfectly honest. And I also like the song Nanya, which he wrote about her. And
I thought you were going to say
Kehlani has a version of.
I thought you were going to say Entanglement.
Nah, well, the song Nanya, when he was before, it was confirmed. Yeah. It was in an entanglement.
Yeah, no. So,
and I love that song. Entanglements, I don't particularly like. So, I just, when I think about the entanglement, I think about the song Nanya, then I just want to hear it. I'm like, I'm not going to sing it. But the point is, I can see how Jada could have been underappreciated because of that circumstance. And I definitely agree that she should be appreciated. So Shout out to her getting the underappreciated award. My underappreciated award this week is going to Chicago two-step dancers and people who just participate in urban line dances. Y'all be moving, and particularly the Chicago two-step dancers, y'all be moving in a romantical way that makes me want to have someone to romantically two-step with. Like, I don't want to always rub up against someone's nether regions and call that dancing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want someone... I want to dance and I want to be twisted and turning, and they be rubbing on each other still, but they rub on each other, you know, just rhythmically. And I'm like, here for it. So one day I want to go to a Chicago two-step dance class. I can go to a Chicago two-step dance party. I feel like it gives off auntie vibes, and you know I'm trying to be y'all's favorite auntie with no nieces and nephews. So I just want to shout out to them for their moves. You be doing it, guys. And
shout
I see
out to y'all being two-step on. You're right. Like, I don't always want to bump and grind or gyrate or do the puzzle piece. Like, yeah, sometimes I can dance with space in between us. Just as well as I can do it with space not between us. So, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Shout out to y'all. Would you like to tell the people where they can find us?
Yep. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at MNO Podcast, where you can send us all kinds of comments and slide in our DMs. You can also send your questions, comments, and concerns to mandyandollie@gmail.com. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast so that you know when we drop a new episode.
It was good talking to y'all. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, way back when.